Hey, so I'm going to read to you just from the Bhagavad Gita as it is by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And this is a very famous verse here. This is from chapter 2, text number 59. The Sanskrit is Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharashya Dihinaha Rasya Varjam Rasopyashya Param Dristva Nivartate. Do any of you know that verse? The beginning of it is Vishaya Vinivartante. So here's the translation. The English is, the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So he's going to close the curtain right now, our pujari. So here's Srila Prabhupada's commentary. It says, unless one is transcendentally situated, it's not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of edibles. The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for edibles. Similarly, sense restriction by some spiritual process like Astanga Yoga in the matter of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dan, etc. is recommended for less intelligent persons who have no better knowledge. But one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness no longer has a taste for dead material things. Therefore, restrictions are there for less intelligent neophytes in the spiritual advancement of life. But such restrictions are only good until one actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness. When one is actually Krishna conscious, he automatically loses his taste for pale things. So here's a couple examples I give you. Like, do you guys know about jaundice? Right? The disease jaundice, right? Have any of you ever had that? A lot of the Americans that go to India, we get jaundice. You know, somehow we're really prone to that. But jaundice, right? When you get jaundice, it's a serious disease. Now, the cure for jaundice is eating sugar. Okay? But when you have the disease jaundice and you taste the sugar tastes very bitter. But is sugar bitter? No, sugar is very sweet, right? But because the person's in a disease condition, a jaundiced condition, they taste the sugar and they taste, oh, this is so horrible. Like, you know, you can't even taste it, right? But the cure for the disease is eating the sugar. So as you take the sugar more and more, gradually the disease gets cured and the sweetness of the sugar comes back. So in the same way, you see, presently, we're in a diseased condition. Our natural condition is to love and serve Radha and Krishna. But now we're just thinking about serving ourselves. That's the difference between material life and spiritual life. Or we extend that selfishness to our family members, you know, I'll take care of my family or I'll take care of my community. But we're misdirecting our natural love for Krishna into material things. So two things happen when we do that. One, we become unhappy. And two, we experience stress. Do you guys know what stress is? Right? Material life is so stressful. You see? So the idea is that when we try to become happy with temporary material things, our happiness is also temporary. Right? The problem with material enjoyment is that everything material is temporary. Krishna points that out. So if we try to become happy with temporary material things, our happiness is also temporary. So when our happiness comes to an end, how do we feel? How do you guys feel? Drained. I work a lot with children. They'll say unhappy or they'll say sad. Krishna, he says, Krodha Esha, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samadbhava. He says that not only will we become unhappy and drained, but we'll also feel, we'll feel frustrated. We'll become angry. Why aren't I getting the things that I want from you? And will feel depressed. Oh, my life is horrible. I hate this. You know? And we become delusioned, right? Delusion means we become bewildered. We don't know what to do, what not to do, what's good, what's bad. You see? And then our material life just goes on like that. It's like a maze. It's like a labyrinth. You know? You go, like in a maze, you go in one area of the maze and there's no way out. And then you go, okay, well, let me get back out to where I was. And then you can't find your way to where you were. And then you go into another area and there's no way out of that. So Krishna, he explains that material enjoyment actually gives no real satisfaction. Yeah, you may acquire things, you know, oh, I got this new car or I've got this new home. And there's this sense of accomplishment. But there's actual no real happiness there. Just like you guys, I'm getting kind of old, right? I'm 55, right? Is that old? But I'll tell you one thing, okay, when you're 55, all right, just so you know, okay, a lot of things happen to you when you hit 50. One, things like I ripped my rotator cuff, my knee is killing me, right? But I'll tell you one thing, you can give me the world's best automobile. What's the world's best automobile? Right? When I was growing up, it was a Rolls Royce. Now it's probably a Tesla, right? Let's just go eco-friendly here, right? Okay. Yeah, so I don't care how good that automobile is. You can spend $129,000 on a new Lexus, you know, like a maxed out Lexus. That's what they cost. One of my friends bought one. Okay, $129,000 for an automobile. Okay. And if you sit in it when you're 55 like this for 2 hours stuck in traffic, you are suffering. There's no happiness in sitting like this for 2 hours. There's no happiness making the car payment. There's no happiness cleaning it. There's no happiness in the maintenance. There's no happiness in the insurance payment. Come on, guys. Let's get over all this corporate psychology and get down to, you know, being ourselves. So Krishna, he says, achinta abheda tattva. He says that real happiness doesn't come from anything outside of us. It comes from within us. He says there's an inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference between us and the Supreme. That sounds very complicated, but Krishna gives a simple example like a drop of ocean water. Drop of ocean water, it has all the qualities of the ocean. It's liquid and it's salty. But the drop is very small. It's infinitesimal, where the ocean's infinite. So in the same way, we have all the qualities of God, of the Supreme. We're conscious, we're loving, we have intelligence. But we are very, very small. And Krishna is unlimited. So we are qualitatively one with God, but we are quantitatively different. See, there's a simultaneous oneness in quality, difference in quantity. But because we're spiritual by nature, because we're part and parcel of God, God is always joyful, right? You see, even the deities of Radha and Krishna, you come, you see them, they're so joyful, they're so beautiful to see. You see? This is not an ordinary experience. This is not like seeing a mannequin in Neiman Marcus's window or looking at a Barbie doll or something. Because the deity of Krishna is transcendental. The form of the Lord is absolute. When you see Krishna, our original spiritual nature becomes awakened. You see? And when we see these other forms, even when we see our own forms, our forms, or mannequins and all these dolls and different things, they are a product of the modes of material nature, ignorance, passion, and goodness. So when you meditate on a material thing, you become influenced by ignorance, passion, and goodness. Right? But the problem with that is that it's material. It's always temporary. Even if you're in the goodness, you feel very, like, you know, You want to help everyone and you feel very good, right? But you can't remain like that. Material energy is dominated. The modes dominate one another. Sometimes you're in goodness, sometimes you're in passion, sometimes you're in ignorance. You cannot just stay fixed until you come to the spiritual platform, the transcendental platform. That's what's being said in this verse. So how do we do that? Krishna says the simplest method is through sound, sound vibration. Sound affects our consciousness more than anything else. Just like if someone tells you that they love you, right? It makes us feel so good. You see? So there are spiritual sound vibrations. In Sanskrit, they're called mantras. Man means the mind. Tra means to free the mind from all stress and anxiety. That's why we're chanting this mantra. Hare is a name for Srimati Radharani. Right? In the Vedic tradition, we have a male and female form of the Supreme, Radha and Krishna. Yes, they have impersonal energies, they have so many qualities, but ultimately they're people, just like we're people. Don't get influenced by this crazy Western, you know, speculations about the origin of life. You know, they say everything comes from matter. Right? Life comes from matter. Life comes from a sudden chance explosion. Come on, guys. Have you ever seen a dead stone create life? Do you guys believe that everything comes from nothing? This is ridiculous. The Vedic literature explains that life comes from life. Right? That's what we're witnessing. And that there's a supreme life. Radha and Krishna. So these names, like Hare is the name of Radharani. Krishna, of course, means the all-attractive one. And Rama means the Lord who is the source of all happiness and joy. And the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is addressing Radha and Krishna. Please, let me love you. Let me be engaged in your service. See, a lot of times when we approach the Lord, we're approaching Him for so many material things. Oh my God, please let me pass this exam. Oh my God, I need a better job. Oh my God, I wish I could do something right for a change. Right? We're always asking for something. We're making God our servant. Krishna is always serving us. Krishna loves us so much. He loves us more than His own life and soul. Krishna's giving us the sunshine. He's giving us the air to breathe, right? IBM is not creating the air. The food we eat, right? The ability to see, to speak, to think. All of this is coming by Krishna's arrangement. So how does this all work? It's very simple, guys. It works based on love. Just like for yourselves, right? If somebody that loves you calls you on your phone, what do? You smile, you answer, you're like, yes, you called me. How are you doing? What's going on? Let's get together. Let's do something. Right? Now, if somebody you don't like calls you on the phone, what do? You let it ring a few more times, right? So Krishna is the same way. See, these mantras, they're activated by love. If you call Krishna out of love, Krishna will manifest more and more. But if we just do it in an official way, right? Like when you go through customs, right? When you're traveling internationally, you go through customs, right? And you go up to the customs officer and they say, are you Miss So-and-so? And you say, yes, I am. And then they stamp your passport, they give it to you, right? There's no love in that, just some official thing, right? It doesn't mean anything to you. You don't really care about it. But if somebody calls your name with a lot of love, right? Man, it's a whole different experience. So that's the same thing with Krishna. Krishna, He doesn't need anything. He's the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhu matasavam pavartate. Krishna's providing everything. Everything is His energy. Even we are Krishna's energy. So Krishna, He doesn't need anything from us, but He has created us and everything in this world and everything within the spiritual world so that we can share loving relationships with Krishna and with one another. So the mantras work, but it takes that loving nature. So how to get rid of that, how to come to that loving state? We just read here, Krishna's talking a little bit about it, right? In the Gita, he was saying the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste. So, right, I can tell you, I don't want you to do this, I don't want you to do that, right, maybe you will listen to me a little bit, but, you know, really in your heart you'll be thinking, oh my God, man, I don't want any more. I have enough discipline in my life. I don't need somebody telling me what I should do and what I shouldn't do, right? But if somebody that you really love and that loves you asks you, hey, will you do this for me? Oh my God, you feel so enthusiastic to do it. You see, so this process, it works out of love. And that's what we're really looking for within our hearts. We're not looking for someone to tell us what to do and what not to do. So when Krishna, the more we understand about Krishna, the more our love awakens for Krishna. That's why it's important to read this literature. You know, and to read Krishna's pastimes and to chant these mantras. If you chant this Hare Krishna mantra in the morning, at lunch, and at night, in the evening, you will see, you will be experiencing a transcendental joy from within yourself. Just like a fish. You could take a fish out of water, right? You can give the fish a box of chocolates, a bouquet of roses, a new iPhone, a beautiful car, $650,000 home in Frisco. Will the fish be happy? No. Until you put the fish back in its natural environment, the water, the fish is going to be suffering. So the same way, unless we put ourselves in a spiritual environment, we're going to be miserable. So thanks, you guys. I don't want to take any more time. Okay? So we're going to serve prasadam in the next room. Don't go and cook. Come and eat here. Everything's cooked in ghee. It's offered to Krishna. It's very nice cooking. You'll see. Right in the next room. Okay? All right. Thank you very much. Hey, is it any of you here for the first time? You came for the first time? Usually we give you a Bhagavad Gita in one of our books. Would you like one? Anybody else want a Bhagavad Gita before you go? Have you? You want one too? Okay. All right, let me give you guys. Okay, you're welcome.